right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Leroy, can we get a weather update brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting?
Sure.
Helping keep your home and family safe when the storm rolls in. Visit tornadoroofing.com for a free roof and window estimate.
Why? Still mostly sunny. Why, when it's as hot as the wind is barely blowing? I would say the winds are 5 to 10 miles an hour coming out of the east, southeast. There is hardly nothing moving. And I'm going to say it's 85 to 90 degrees. Again, look for a shower later on in the day. But other than that, prepare for this heat. Heat index is supposed to be 110 to 105, 110 degrees this weekend.
Oof. Dang. That is soupy.
Yep.
On the headline side of things, those are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. In Miami, we go to the beach for a little solcito, and when we want a low price, you save with your Pricito. Save now with your Pricito at Doral Hyundai. And the Marlins, they'll be back at it tonight. They open up a series with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that gets going at 6:40 tonight. Sandy Alcantara is on the hill for the Fish. Tomorrow, the Marlins play at 4:05, and then Sunday, it's a 12:10 first pitch with Max Meyer against Paul Skeens. You'll be able to view that one on Peacock, but you can listen to all the Marlins action right here on WQAM. Oh, okay, good. Whew. Every time there's a Panthers email, I get scared. Like, please don't leave me, Bob. Please. Does he get a statue immediately or immediately?
He doesn't get one before Barkey.
Who, he's going to retire before Barkey.
Yeah.
So you think Barkey has to be the first statue and then you can make a Bob statue? Is that how you see it?
If they didn't give one to Luongo.
Luongo never won the championship. I've got two.
That's true.
I've got two.
But. When you think of Panthers goalies, you think of Bob now, but who's the OG?
Of course. Right. Van Beesbrook. I mean, there's been some great Panthers goalies of all time, but only one's got the cup.
Twice.
Now, Roberto Luongo is on the cup with them as a front office executive and the head of the goaltending department of excellence and badassery. I would be for a Bobby Lou Bob Co. statue, something like that. That would be fun.
Really?
Yeah, that would be fun. SDI says, the only chance Bob is getting a statue is if Tobin puts one in his backyard. Hey, Pudge Rodriguez did it. I mean, it was of himself.
Wait, somebody says they're putting a vote in for Zito.
Oh, I'd be for Zito getting a statue. That'd be cool.
You won't like him if he trades Bob, though.
Well, it's not trading Bob at this point. It's just letting Bob walk. I think I just need to go around.
You think that has more? You think Bob leaving has more to do with the Panthers or Bob?
I think it depends, like how real the Hellebuyck stuff is. Like, I think if the Panthers really think they could get Connor Hellebuyck, then they're going to be like, hey, no, nothing personal. We're getting 5 years younger, and that's where we're going.
Would you be mad if they decided to make that move?
Furious! What do you mean? Hellebuyck!
It sounds like that's a good organizational move to get 5 years younger.
Whatever, dude. You know what sounded like a good idea? You know, the hoverboard skateboard from Back to the Future, and they never made it. Right, that wasn't a mature response. I apologize.
No, yeah. That wasn't it there.
Yeah.
That was not it.
Last night, the Carolina Hurricanes took game 5. Speaking of goalies, John Tortorella was asked about if he was going to make a goalie change in the middle of the game. Here was his mature response.
John, did you consider at all going to Aiden Hill in the third period, or was there any conversation you thought about it?
Oh, Christ, that could be the stupidest question I've heard.
Jeez.
Wow. All right.
John, did you consider at all going to Aiden Hill in the third period, or was there any conversation you thought about it?
Oh, Christ, that could be the stupidest question I've heard.
Does he like what he's doing right now? Is he having fun?
Minus one.
I could see why, like, based on what?
right? Most of these games have been 5-6, you know, like ridiculously high scores. And now all of a sudden you got a close game. And like, yeah. I get it.
Tortorella has the rare thing of he hates the media, but his media things are gold because of how much he hates the media. And then, of course, he's the classic, then goes back to the media because everybody wants to hear what he has to say because he's a curmudgeon rat bastard.
For sass.
Is that sport just creates a curmudgeon?
I don't
know. It just seems like they all are.
Paul Maurice is not a public curmudgeon. We know that he'll lose his mind. Like when it's you know, in front of microphones, he's very reserved and thoughtful. We've seen what he's like on the bench.
Right.
But Tortorella's just like, you really? That's your question? Oh, man. Crazy. Today in the on the World Cup, we got Canada and Bosnia at 3 o'clock, and then USA and Paraguay gets going today at 9 o'clock. So that is your slate tonight. Meanwhile, we'll take a break. When we come back, get back into the Heat a little bit. Some deets on what the Heat are going to have to give up. Do they have an intangible European choice to make on who they want to send for Giannis? Back after this. Welcome back, friends. Tobin Leroy. Hello, friends. Tobin Leroy here with you on a Friday. Great to be with you here. Happy to have you here. So, we're still following the Giannis stuff. Today, there was a report from The Athletic talking about the Heat. Still looked upon as the front runner. There is, you know, some smoke out there. It appears that the Bucks may be trying to drum up some other stuff. You know, they put out this whole, you know, I was thinking about, God, I'm glad that this has, I hope this Haslam's a truth teller, because he's the one who's like, I want this done before the draft. Could you imagine if we still had months of this to go? Could you imagine if this was something that dragged out into July?
It has.
No.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying, like, could it drag? Like, imagine that we still had, like, imagine there was no June 23rd soft deadline from then. I'm like, oh, we want it done before the draft. And we still possibly would have had to wait throughout the whole summer. Because Damian Lillard was a whole summer. It was a whole summer. You know, we had to go from what a July 1st it was. Oh, what a day. Just came off the finals. Then July 1st happened. And then Shams had the tweet. What a time. Summer League. But this one, we're going to, at the very least, we'll have an answer in 10 days, one way or another. And then we can at least, you know, move on to somewhere else. But it'll be, the thing today is, on this package, you know, we seem established that it's going to be Tyler, Kelleher, Jaime Jaquez, and the Heat are apparently offering Pella or Kasperis Jakučonis, which is a real conundrum, Leroy. Where would you go?
You have to...
Because Kasperis
Jakučonis... Pella is almost like Gogi. He has that, you know, that intensity, that...
Yep.
But Jakučonis is a point guard, and he's got some size.
I can shoot.
And he can shoot.
Which was a surprise to people.
So, who do you – here. Here's what I'm going to say. I will always trade a rotation guy over a guy I think could be a starter.
Okay.
Jakučonis could be a starter. Pella's going to be a rotation guy.
I get what you're saying. You don't want to cut semantics on it. You're saying Pella is a role player.
Correct.
And you think that Jakučonis could be more than just a role guy.
He could be a starter. Right. Point guard. True point guard.
He could be a true point guard. And he's younger. I mean, he just turned 20 a week ago. Pella's also going to be up for – this is an interesting thing. Pella yesterday announced that he signed with an agency, that he signed with CAA. So he's going to get that Munyon soon because he's a second-round pick, so his contract's not as long. So that's another thing of, like, how much money, you know, you could probably keep one under control a little bit longer. Is that a part of it? But if I'm the Bucks, which guy do I want? I think if I'm the Bucks, I would want Jakachonis as well. Like, that's the guy that I would be looking at and being like, well, that's the sweetener. And is that going to be a deal breaker for the Miami Heat? No, it didn't say that.
They said either or.
Well, we don't. Yeah, but we don't know which one they're haggling over either. We don't know. Like, it's not.
Who's going to be the point guard?
Well, right now it's Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell's under contract. He's got one more year. Right. But the other way you could look at it is if you keep Jakachonis, if you trust Jakachonis, and I don't know that the Heat do, but let's say that he did trust that this could be Jakachonis is ready to start next year, which is fast. Like, it's a limited sample. He looked pretty good in the spots that he got. And then, of course, once, you know, the Olay twins came back, you know, he was losing his playing time. Olay. But man, I love Pella too. Like, Pella does have that dog in him. He really does.
Hey, I love Khalil Ware, but guess what? Yeah. He gone.
I don't know.
You know what's gonna suck? Khalil's gonna go somewhere else and start bawling out.
I think so. I mean, people were saying, I think it was on the Windhorse podcast, he was saying there's a lot of interest in Khalil. You know, that he's that people are very. Why wouldn't you be? He's 7'1" with a 3-point shot. Yeah, he's got motor issues. Self-admitted.
He's a big though.
Yeah, he's a big. I mean, yeah, he does have to get that stuff knocked out. Like, he does have to. I don't know.
My thing is, how much faster do you want him to go? He's still 7 foot.
It's not about fast. I think it's those efforts. Like, it's rebounding. And the thing is like, and I love Khalil, but the thing that's frustrating about it is, like, he's aware of it. You know, like, he's like, yeah, I guess I was being lackadaisical. I was not bringing it the way that I should. He goes, but I don't know if he can control that. Is that, like, something that's in you, or is that going to be something that follows him his whole career?
I think, like, sometimes you find moments, or I'll tell you what happens. The hardest thing for an athlete to do is when you're frustrated that you're not playing or you made a mistake or you did something, you know, to hurt your team, or you're just not bringing it that night. It's hard for your default to be, but I'm just going to give them energy, right? Because that portion of it and the lack of success in other things sometimes sucks the life out of you. Because guess what? When Khalil has a big dunk, he's one of the first people down. And I think that's a youth thing, right? A youth thing where, you know, for example, Bam understands he don't have to score 20 to be an impact on the game, right? Whereas there's a lot of guys who say that, but no, we need your scoring. Tyler can never say that. Don't ever say, well, I helped in other ways. No, we need your damn scoring.
Yeah, that's the other thing when you have a guy like Giannis sticking around too. Like, if you do have Giannis, like Pella, I would say if you're going to say he has any weakness, it's only the shooting. Like, he's not quite the reliable outside shooter that you would want from somebody like that.
You need an outside shooter to go with Giannis.
You know, yeah, Jakachonis shot the lights out last year. Almost to a point, like, is it real? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to think that it's not real. I mean, he's 19. Why isn't there a thought that he's just a guy? I figured out my shot. I was injured at the second half of my Illinois season. I actually am really good at this.
Right.
But, like, dude, I mean, that kid lit it up last year. I mean, what did he have, like, 3 games where he hit 5 threes?
Yep.
He was something. But then it's like, dude, is Spo really going to trust a 20-year-old to be the guy who's got the keys to the Ferrari on this team?
You ain't got no choice.
Oh, he's got a choice. He's always got Drew Smith in his back pocket.
Oh.
He's always got Old Faithful.
This is getting ridiculous.
What do you mean?
Like, I get having trust in a player. What if that player's just not better?
Yeah.
Right? You're telling me I trust more Drew Smith to do the right thing more than I trust Jakachonis' talent? You see what I'm saying? Like, that's a hard thing for fans to swallow when you see Jakachonis doing stuff that Drew Smith in his career has never done.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just that, that case of like, all right, well, what are they going to, you got these two young guys. But the other thing is, listen, the kid passes. Like, that's what his natural thing is, too. So I think that's, I love Pelle Larsen, and I would hate to give him up. And I think that for playoff teams, I think he's a guy that you'll play in the playoffs for sure. Like, he's going to have, like you said, a role no matter what. But there is a question of, hey, what is the ceiling of him? Like, what is the best of Pelle Larsen? What does that turn into? And I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, is it Alex Caruso? Is it, you know, is it a Derek
White? Alex Caruso could always shoot.
Well, yeah, he has to get better at shooting. He's not, he's very,
so
very
to say he has to get better at shooting, Alex Caruso could always do that.
Yeah, but
so
I'm saying,
how
like,
do you go about that?
I'm just saying, like, his role is going to be like the third to fourth guy, going to probably be your wing defender, you know, right. can get to the rim. That's going to be his place. Whereas, like, Jakob Jones, I don't know. Can he be Goran Dragic? Maybe he can be. And that's what the intrigue is. And I think that's probably what, if you're Milwaukee, you probably want the intrigue more than you want, like, the sure thing.
Right.
Especially with all those guys wanting extensions, too, because you're basically going to be signing for three guys who are up for new deals in Jaime, Pella, and Tyler Hero. I would think they would want somebody who's, you know, cost control like Kasper's Jakachonis for a little bit too. So that could be the tough thing here is, are the Heat going to look at this and be like, oh man, the guy we really want to keep is Kaz, but you know, you got to kind of bite the bullet on it to make the honest thing happen. Dicey scenario.
Very. Dicey scenario. I would keep Jakachonis. One, he's 19, and it seems like his upside is far greater than, you know what I mean? Is far greater than what Pelle could be. Pelle can improve in something.
But Pella's a better player right now. I think overall is a better player right now.
Right.
But I don't.
What he is more dependable.
Yeah. I mean, he's 25, right? 25? What is Pelle right now? 24?
That's not old.
That's not old. Pelle Larsen. Yeah, he's 25. He'll be 26 next year.
And think about this. If you bring in Giannis, that speeds up your timeline. You might need somebody that's reliable like Pelle over Jakachonis.
For sure.
You might still need some. So, like.
Well, that's what I'm saying with the Spo thing. It's like, well, are we?
Is we he, need to
is
be
he,
here.
Is he really going to hand the keys over to him? Now, look, you're seeing right on the stage right now. Look at the Spurs. They got 21, 20-year-olds, 22-year-olds. Like,
right.
You know, you know. I don't know if it's as scary, especially if he's going to have veterans like Bam and Kaz and Norman Powell next to him. Like, I don't think it would be overwhelming for him.
Then you heard what the boss said about playing young players.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice. Well,
I mean, the boss sent a flare up.
Well, the one thing that he's got for him is at least he's not tall. If he was a tall and young, I mean, it wouldn't even be a question.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, tall for the position. He's tall for the position, but he's not a big.
Jakachonis was 6'6", 6'5", 6'6"?
6'5". He's like 6'5".
And Pelle
But could still be growing, too. I mean, he's young. Pelle's 6'5", too.
Wow. Why does Jakachonis seem so much taller?
I don't know. Maybe because it's just he looks lankier.
That could be it.
Take a break. Hit the mixed bag coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Want to let you guys know again tonight, if you're looking for a place to watch a little soccer,
gonna be a footy,
little footy football. The real football, the world's football, no American football, love. I'll talk like that if you want to at the watch party. I'm gonna be at the bar in Coral Gables tonight, starting at 7 o'clock. As we will watch along the Michelob Ultra watch party, we'll be watching USA and Paraguay, which kicks off at 9. But we'll be there starting at 7 with Michelob Ultra. We'll have great prizes to give away, and our friends at Michelob Ultra are giving you a chance to win tickets to an upcoming World soccer match. And so if you guys want to win those tickets and you want to see the world's biggest tournament up close and personal, come on by the bar tonight in Coral Gables for your chance to win at a Michelob Ultra watch party with your favorite show pony, Old Tobes over here. Excited. And I will talk in a British accent if wanted to. But please don't badger me with Jovic takes again. Like, I already know. Like, you guys have already, you've already gotten mad at me about the Jovic dude thing. You know, I've been accosted. I've been trying to just, like, live my life. And then people are like, oh, here he goes with old Jovic dude takes. Enough of that already. I paid my price. All right, let's get to the mixed bag. All right, well, here's a guy I'm not fond of, Rod Brind'Amour, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. His team is up 3-2 in the Stanley Cup. Here's what he had to say on that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, to be honest, I didn't think we had a great first period, that's for sure, but then we kind of got our game going. I think, I don't know, poise, I'm not sure. I didn't like a lot of the stuff we were doing at times, but I think the goal, Buss had a lot of poise. I think he looked pretty calm in there and obviously played a great game for us.
Went away from the Stanley Cup. I hate that guy. Who could like that guy? It was a sweep that wasn't a sweep. What is this now? What is this series, Rod, now that you're winning? Tell me what that is. Is it 3-2? I'm lashing out.
Oh, that's the worst thing when they do that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're down 3-1, but I mean, you know what's crazy? If the Spurs were to say something like that, you couldn't like we blew a 30-point lead and...
Well, they kind of did. I mean, Mitch Johnson was kind of right. Like, we've been in control every game. I mean, you've blown two of them, that's for sure.
Right.
You've blown two of them, but...
Is that from being young? Or it just... Like,
I mean,
it's on the coach too.
Is De'Aaron Fox,
he knows they're young.
Is De'Aaron Fox young? He's been in the league forever.
Oh my goodness, the oldest guy is making the weirdest mistake.
Yeah, I guess there's part of it being. I would rather have maybe put Harper out there. Maybe young is what they need right now.
Right.
Zach Taylor, he is the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. He was on the Rich Eisen show. A lot of talk around the Bengals about Joe Burrow and his happiness. Here's what Zach Taylor had to say about that.
I mean, I can understand. He's a primary focus for everybody that loves our team, but we get to see him every day behind the scenes. So we know who he is and what his personality is and get to see all sides of him. So I love working with him. He's had a tremendous offseason. He's brought a lot of energy to our team over the course of this offseason. We've made some great additions, I think, that have fired everybody up, including him. So we're just excited. We've been putting in the work. There's a lot of urgency amongst our team. There's a lot of excitement amongst our team in our locker room. And he's obviously a big part of that.
God, anybody sick of Joe Burrow's ass? Like, just enough of him already. You know, why do we always got to look at Joe Burrow and be like, oh, poor Joe Burrow, he's not happy. What's he not happy about? I'd love to know.
Right.
What's the problem, Joe Burrow? Not enough weapons? Oh, you can't stay healthy. Oh, I didn't realize that was a problem that only Joe Burrow had to deal with. Like Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or Tua or Justin Herbert's never been hurt in their life. But right. This Joe Burrow, like every single time, we gotta check in on Joe Burrow and his feelings. Nobody's sick of it already? He's a grown-ass man.
You know what's crazy about this? We have treated him with kid gloves since he got into the league. And one of the things that I would say is, you know you made it when no matter how you play, the blame goes on everybody else on your team. So Joe Burrow, from the start of his career, right? Every year it didn't work out. He went to the Super Bowl. Did he go to AFC Championship game also?
Yes.
And then you start getting hurt, and then you start not playing as well, and then guys start getting banged up. And the only thing they say, well, they need to protect Joe Burrow. Well, they need to be better on defense. Well, they need to do this, right? At some point, all this is going to catch up to where, okay, we've given you all the excuses, right? You got to do Joe Burrow stuff.
That's no relation to Duke Tobin, but if I'm Duke Tobin and be like, oh, we got to worry about Joe, just like he needs to be happier? What else does he need?
By the way, did you see the extension or the reworking of Patrick Mahomes' contract?
I didn't really pay attention to it because I just figured Patrick Mahomes is making a ton of money.
500.
Good for him.
$500 million through 2030.
He deserves
it. 2033.
Hopefully he's not cooked.
Nah, he's not cooked. Because he's one of the few quarterbacks that he doesn't need to run to be successful. And if he couldn't run, we would still, you know, trust him. He's not like if Lamar Jackson lost his ability to run or scramble.
Hotan says, the way Tobin pronounces Joe Burrow's name, I die a little inside. That's how you say his name, dude. If you don't want to roll your eyes, you know, no pressure.
We've just gotten used to it.
Dr. Toboggan says, Joe owns a Batmobile. He's happy. I think he didn't buy a Batmobile because he probably was there. He goes, oh, man, this isn't the real Batmobile. Joe Burrow sad. Buck up, Joe. Kenneth Grant, Dolphins first round pick from last year. He was discussing his playing weight this year and where he's gotten his body to.
Yeah, I'm down about 7 pounds. So I'm looking to come back from training camp about 325. So that's what I'm trying to get to right now. I played a little heavier, probably like 337 last year. So, you know, just looking to get down some more. And you?
All right. So he was, we could surmise that he's 330 now.
Yeah, which is fine.
It's fine.
Like you'll lose, big guys will lose 10 pounds when they start putting them pads on every day.
Yeah.
And this is who, I was like, man, why don't you give your other buddy the same lessons?
Who?
Caden Proctor.
I don't know. Like, when do you have when are you close enough teammates to have those talks?
When you see him play, if you see him struggling, if you see him, you know, because the first thing you check when you see a guy moving around, are you in shape? Because sometimes, and I'll just be honest with you, sometimes guys are just bigger, right?
I don't know.
It doesn't mean that they're out of shape. We always misconstrue size with health.
I never expect Kenneth Grant to be svelte. You know?
But there's also a weight that they'll figure out where you look like you're moving most efficient. Right? And you'll see him running around. If he starts getting tired at the end of practice and stuff, you'll be like, hey, either you're not in shape or you need to drop a couple of pounds.
Benny Flip 305 says, I've only ever heard one man talk bad about Joe Burrow, Tobin. Yeah, because the guy needs more haters, dude. He needs more haters. You know, you can't just walk through this life zero haters. Someone's got to have to hold him accountable. All right? Tua's got plenty of haters. Justin Herbert's got plenty of haters. Josh Allen's got plenty of haters. It's Joe Burrow. He's got no haters. I'm happy to be there. I'm on the case. Do you like Joe Burrow, Brittany?
I do.
Why, dude?
I don't know. I like his personality.
That's what everybody says.
I think
says.
He's a great.
What's so great about his personality? What's so great? He's a bore.
No, he's not.
He's a bore, dude.
I don't know. I think he has a lot of charisma.
Because they call him Joe Burr. That's why?
I've never heard anybody call him that.
Oh, people call him Joe Burr. That's what they say.
Really?
I've now never
that's
heard that.
That's rolling the crap out of your R's,
I'm
huh?
telling you, listen, I'm not going to sit here and just allow him to just be Joe Burr, and I'm just going to be sitting here being like, nah, dude, you don't get to be Joe Burr. Doesn't work like that. Finally, Jeff Hafley, he explained, because the Dolphins are going to do joint practice, but only once a week against the teams, and he explained why.
Everyone I've experienced on the second practice, which is what we used to do, whatever team gets the best of the team day one, the other team comes out and tries to overdo it, and they're usually stuff just gets bad, and you have a higher chance for injury. I mean, a fight's a fight. If it happens, you clear it up. It shouldn't happen in joint practice. I got it. You're just worried about it going too far and anybody getting injured. Our job is to protect the team and to protect the players. And I think one good hard practice, because then the other thing is this, like when you look at blocks of practice, usually you have like a high day, a low day, and a medium day. Like those joint practices, you should maximize your reps. So the ones might get 50 snaps, which is equivalent to we're working towards playing in a game. You can't do that 2 days in a row where it's like playing two games and you're going to wear these guys out. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know what he's saying, Leroy?
Not really.
All right. I was hoping you could shed some light on that.
Let me see if I can break it down. Right? Can we? I'm gonna break it down. Let me put my football head on. Run it. Cause
you want me to play it again?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Everyone I've experienced on the second practice, which is what we used to do, whatever team gets the best of the team day one, the other team comes out and tries to overdo it, and they're usually stuff just gets bad, and you have a higher chance for injury. I mean, a fight's a fight. If it happens, you clear it up. It shouldn't happen in joint practice. I got it. You're just worried about it going too far and anybody getting injured. Our job's to protect the team and to protect the players, and I think one good hard practice, because then the other thing is this, like when you look at blocks of practice, usually you have like a high day, a low day, and a medium day. Like those joint practices, you should maximize your reps. So the ones might get 50 snaps, which is equivalent to we're working towards playing in a game. You can't do that 2 days in a row where it's like playing two games and you're going to wear these guys out. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And can I tell you what he sound like he's doing?
Yeah.
He's complaining when his team competes.
Really?
So, case in point, if I'm a competitor and I get my ass kicked.
Right.
In a practice, you best believe your coaching staff and everybody in that building is like, don't go out there and lay another egg. Mm-hmm. So you ramp it up. What he's saying is, in camp, he doesn't want to put his players in that position. Because that's when injuries happen. I mean, well, but
and also,
do you want your guys to be competitive or not? Right? But, you need, first of all, you need to teach how to bounce back. So if you have a bad morning practice, you come back in the evening and you fix it, mm-hmm. right? Is that any different than going out in the first half and playing like crap and then coming back at half and going in the second half and picking it up?
But isn't his point like, if somebody has a good first joint practice, like naturally the team that wasn't as good the next day is probably going to bounce back. So like, wouldn't you get,
he's saying it's no different.
Wouldn't you get a truer evaluation of let's all just ramp up for one big practice.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. It depends on when you have joint practices though, because you can work something out with the other team is that, hey, we need to see this guy. We need to see this guy compete. We need to see these guys. So our veterans probably won't get a lot of work in the evening practice. So why don't you do the same and we can evaluate our young guys, right? They work things out. They work things out during every drill. Hey, we're not going to run all out blitzes on full team, right? So there's that. I get what he's saying. I also believe this, and this is another thing that lends to what he's saying. When you watch film after a practice and you're critiqued and evaluated and what have you, imagine doing that after the first practice and having to go out there and practice again. How attentive are your guys when you know you're just about to go, you worried about the evening practice?
Yeah.
So you have one practice, you regroup, you go in at night. You watch that film, you critique that film, get a good night's sleep, come out, have meetings, and then go at it that way. I get it. I understand it. He just kind of started off by saying, I don't know if I, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see my guys fight back. I want to see how quick they can reply to the aggression. So I see both sides of it. I do believe that there is some point of, you can push your body as a competitor to the point where you injure yourself trying to be competitive.
All I remember from joint practices the last couple of years is I remember Teron Armstead getting hurt 1 year, and that was terrible. And then I remember last year everybody was acting like the Bears like violated the Dolphins with how bad they beat them in a joint practice. Those are the only joint practice things I remember over the last couple of years. Oh,
so,
and I remember the Eagles a couple of years back. I went to that joint practice, and everybody on the Eagles was like, this Tua is so much better than Jalen Hurts. All of the Eagles media was like that.
That's, again, there's a lot of people in this league that like Tua over their quarterback.
Crazy.
The Super Bowl champ Eagles said that.
Yeah, they're miserable.
Yeah, but they're just miserable all the time. They're not happy winning with anything.
They're winning.
We'll take a break. Final hour of the program coming on up. We're back after this.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.